You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've got a lovely guest in the studio. Kia ora, Santa Carney. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good. Yeah.
Thriving.
Sure.
It's lovely to have you up here. I feel like trying to sort of crystallize what it is you do is always hard because you're a practitioner with your fingers in many creative pies.
A whorish practice, yes. Is that what you're trying to say?
It
yeah,
is,
that's all
yes.
accurate.
But you're kind of here in your writing capacity today,
yes,
I guess.
Yes.
Because you are part of an amazing lineup with Dominic Hoey and IE Crazy that's going to be performing at the Wine Cellar. What can people expect from this evening? Because we've got, you know, multidisciplinary practices going on here.
Well, I guess across the board, all three of us definitely have like a writing component of our practice, but I mean, it's definitely going to be performance based. I mean, Dominic Hoey, he's going to get up there and he's going to espouse his, you know, usual charismatic vitriol, etc., all that stuff.
Totally.
I'll probably talk about Dick for like 15 minutes and then
IE
Crazy will get up and do, I'm assuming there's going to be a musical component because they're also a musician. I'm not, obviously.
So are you going to be doing some reading? Are you going to be doing some stand-up? What's the
readings?
The world?
I mean, I generally do readings, but because I don't actually write commissional poetry or any poetry to speak of, but I get asked to do readings and things, so I just quickly pull something out of my ass. And,
nice.
You know, because I normally write like erotic science fiction, and it's difficult to. I'm really against sort of reading an excerpt from something extended, like a prose piece.
Yeah.
You just sort of like, oh, just destroy something, you know, to extract this piece from it like an organ and. And you don't get the same consummate effect as like the entire story.
Totally. Yeah. Last time we spoke to you on the show was about your brilliant book, which was sort of delving into that world in a longer form way than I think perhaps you'd done before. This sort of erotic science fiction.
Totally.
What is it about that as a genre that's interesting to you?
Well, I'm pretty criminally horny across the board, so, but then like the science fiction component, like I love science fiction so much.
Yeah.
I also feel like as a genre, it kind of has this like, God, and really the event on Friday is going to be put for me and fun. I'm just, this. It's not going to be this writerly, you know what I mean?
So, no, but it's nice to get a peek behind the practice.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I just love science fiction because I feel like as a genre, it's really interested in sort of critically engaging with our reality. Like, that's like, it's kind of over at remit. Like it really wants to denaturalize the present to then create breathing space to project forwards and, you know, create alternatives. Like that's what I think it's about.
Yeah, totally. And yeah. I think when we look back on science fiction, people were like, oh wow, it was so political. How did we not realize it at the time? It's like, I think people did realize it at the time. Maybe we just sort of, you know, the way we consume culture has changed so much. Marvel movies have like warped so much of what we expect to see from big fantasy sci-fi type films that we forget that at its core science fiction is very political.
Very political. And even Marvel is like obviously incredibly political, but
yeah, totally.
I'll go as far as saying pure ideology, you know, because it's like Marvel
propaganda.
Does that thing. Yeah, totally. It does that thing that science fiction does where it, you know, denaturalizes the present and kind of creates allegories. But mostly the allegories within Marvel are just completely neoliberal. Like if there's any sort of like threat, it's generally representative of something that isn't neoliberalism, and more often than not, that's fascism. As if to say the only alternative to capitalism is fascism. Dear God, we should defend capitalism to our dying breath. That's generally every single Marvel movie
100%.
Is about that.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, we've moved into a Marvel movie like side tangent here, but I can never tell them apart. The characters. The actors, no offense to all the Chrises in Hollywood, but like I can't tell them apart.
All the Chrises? Well, I'm writing something about Marvel at the moment. I'm doing like a small like art writing residency at Room, and the piece I promised them, which I'm almost finished. Room, if anyone attached to Room is listening.
Sam's working.
Yeah, I'm definitely working, and I'll be there as soon as this interview's done. And it's like about like neoclassicism and twinks, the return of the twinks. So like how we have like a slender, a Phoebe sort of like twink figure or body that's sort of made like a popular reemergence. And I'm thinking specifically of people like Timothée Chalamet.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. And I definitely, even though he doesn't feature in a Marvel movie to speak of, he's definitely Marvel adjacent because also he's sci-fi, like Dune, you know?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And so I'm sort of arguing that like in neoclassicism, there's like a vibe where you would have tableaus of like anacreontistic tableaus, which is like a Greek obsession, like building mythos around like martial values, But none of these taboos would have women in them. It was to reflect the polity at that time, which like an emerging republican polity, like transitioning from the ancient regime to like a sort of bourgeois civility or whatever, dually expelling women from institutions. Oof. So all of these tableaus would be exclusively male, but they'd be like slender, they'd be twinks, they'd be fucking twinks running around in these, in these tableaus. You're like, what the fuck is that twink doing there? And it was about like, it's a visual strategy towards male supremacy. So letting the male body or the male representation sort of subsume or assimilate sexual difference.
That sounds so good. When can we read that, Sam?
That's a very good question. I guess I'll finish it sometime this in the next couple of days, hopefully. And then I think we're in my printing, doing like a collection at the end of the year. Cool. And it'll be included in that.
Oh, awesome. I'm definitely keen to read that. That sounds fascinating.
And Marvel will not feature in the performance on Friday. That will be something else entirely.
So when you are preparing for something like a live performance, I'm interested in, you said you sort of just pull it out at the last minute. Where do you write from when you're doing that spontaneous stuff?
That is a great question as well, and it's never the same. I'll generally like look at the event and sort of read the room, etc. But I will be doing like a mix of like old and new stuff this Friday. Where normally I write from a place of simmering rage when it comes to performance stuff, because that's fun.
It is fun. You know? You've got to sort of perform that out of you a little bit as well, because otherwise it just, you know, you fester on it, and it's important to be able to share it with a crowd, I think.
And I'd rather, I don't know, do like a little performance than walk into a St. Luke's wearing a vest made of pure nitroglycerin, you know?
Definitely a better alternative, yeah. I would say.
Yeah.
So Are You Crazy is also going to be performing, as we mentioned before. Dominic Hoey as well will be there. And it's
Who also
going
just
to be...
put out a book as well, Dominic Hoey's book. What's it called? It's...
Oh my God.
Poor People with Money.
Yes, there we go. And what's the name of your book, Sam?
Please Call Me Jesus.
And will both books be there, I presume, to buy a copy?
I'm pretty
or
sure
two?
Dom's pretty good at like peddling the wares, you know, getting them together, making a table. Absolutely.
We were also just chatting off air before. You have a little feature in Chris and Eli's Porn Revolution, which is a new series that is coming out on the spin-off, which is pretty cool. I think your episode's coming out in the next couple of days, maybe.
It will
as well.
Be. Like, I think they're rolling them out all this week. So first one came out yesterday, and then there'll be another one up today. Might be mine. I don't know. I haven't checked.
But it'll be good. People should go and check it out. I watched the first episode yesterday, and it was really awesome conversation. Sam Takani, thank you for coming in for a Caught It All this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We're going to listen to an IE Crazy track now. This is Wetlands. You're on BFM. Oh, we should say where this is all happening. Wine Cellar. That would help, eh? The Wine Cellar this Friday starts at 7:30. $20 if you've got money, $10 if you don't.
Yep.
Which
just
we like.
Lie. Just lie, guys. Just lie.
And if you want to get your ticket, Under the Radar is the place to go. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.